your wife some, Flash, huh? It's be all right. You'll be with her soon now. Then he flicked his cigarette off the end of his fingers and walked away toward the fire. I seen the hoop in his ear flash once in the firelight, and that was all.
He wiped little beads of water from his chin with the cup of his hand and looked at Billy.
Flash was what they used to call me when I worked the penny pitch on the pier back in the 50s, my friend. But nobody had called me that for years. I was way back in the shadows, but he saw me, and he called me by my old name, what the gypsies would call my secret name, I guess. They set a hell of a star by knowing a man's secret name.
Do they? Billy asked, almost to himself. Timmy the bartender came over again. This time he spoke to Billy almost kindly, as though Lon Enders was not there.
He on the 10, buddy. Leave him alone. He ain't well. And this here little discussion ain't making him no weller.
I'm okay, Timmy, Enders said.
Timmy didn't look at him. He looked at Billy Halleck instead.
I want you to get out of here, he said to Billy in that same reasonable, almost kind voice. I don't like your looks. You look like bad luck waiting for a place to happen. The beers are free. Just go.
Billy looked at the bartender, feeling frightened and somehow humbled. Okay, he said. Just one more question and I'll go. He turned to Enders. Where did they head for?
I don't know, Enders said at once. Gypsies don't leave forwarding addresses, my friend.
Billy's shoulders slumped.
But I was up when they pulled out the next morning. I don't sleep worth a shit anymore, and most of the vans and cars didn't have much in the way of mufflers. I seen them go out Highway 27 and turn north onto Route 1. My guess would be Rockland.
The old man fetched in a deep, shuddering sigh that made Billy lean toward him, concerned.
Rockland, or maybe Booth Bay Harbor. Yes, that's all I know, my friend, except that when he called me Flash, when he called me by my secret name, I pissed all the way down my leg into my left tennis shoe.
And Lon Enders abruptly began to cry.
Mister, would you leave? Timmy asked.
I'm going, Billy said, and did, pausing only to squeeze the old man's narrow, almost ethereal shoulder. Outside, the sun hit him like a hammer. It was mid-afternoon now, the sun heeling over toward the west, and when he looked to his left, he saw his own shadow, as scrawny as a child's stick figure, poured on the hot white sand like ink. He dialed area code 203. They set a hell of a store by knowing a man's secret name. He dialed 555. I want you to get out of here. I don't like your looks. He dialed 9231 and listened to the phone begin to ring back home in Fat City. You look like bad luck waiting. Hello? The voice, expectant and a little breathless, was not Heidi's, but Linda's. Lying on his bed in his wedge-shaped hotel room, Billy closed his eyes against the sudden sting of tears. He saw her as she had been on the night he had walked her up Lantern Drive and talked to her about the accident, her old shorts, her long, cultish legs. What are you going to say to her, Billy boy? That you spent the day at the beach sweating out moisture, that lunch was two beers, and that in spite of a big supper which featured not one but two sirloin steaks, you lost 3 pounds today instead of the usual two? Hello? That you're bad luck waiting for a place to happen? That you're sorry you lied, but all parents do it? Hello? Is anyone there? Is that you, Bobby? Eyes still closed, he said. It's Dad, Linda.
Daddy?
Honey, I can't talk, he said, because I'm almost crying. I'm still losing weight, but I think I found Lemke's trail. Tell your mother that. I think I found Lemke's trail. Will you remember?
Daddy, please come home.
She was crying. Billy's hand whitened on the telephone.
I miss you, and I'm not going to let her send me away anymore.
Dimly, he could hear Heidi now. Lynn, is it Dad? I love you, doll, he said. And I love your mother.
Daddy!
A confusion of small sounds. Then Heidi was on the phone. Billy? Billy, please stop this and come home to us. Billy gently hung the phone up and rolled over on the bed, and put his face into his crossed arms. He checked out of the South Portland Sheraton the next morning and headed north on U.S. 1, the long coastal highway which begins in Fort Kent, Maine, and ends in Key West, Florida. Rockland or maybe Booth Bay Harbor, the old man in the Seven Seas had said, but Billy took no chances. He stopped at every second or third gas station on the northbound side of the road. He stopped at general stores where old men sat out front in lawn chairs, chewing toothpicks or wooden matches. He showed his pictures to everyone who would look. He swapped two $100 traveler's checks for $2 bills and passed them out like a man promoting a radio show with dubious ratings. The four photographs he showed most frequently were the girl, Gina, with her clear olive skin and her dark promising eyes, the converted Cadillac hearse, the VW microbus with the girl and the unicorn painted on the side, Tadu's Lemke. Like Lon Enders, people didn't want to handle that one, or even touch it. But they were helpful, and Billy Halleck had no trouble at all following the gypsies up the coast. It wasn't the out-of-state plates. There were lots of out-of-state plates to be seen in Maine during the summer. It was the way the cars and vans traveled together, almost bumper to bumper, the colorful pictures on the sides, the gypsies themselves. Most of the people Billy talked to claimed that the women or children had stolen things, but all seemed vague on just what had been stolen. And no one, so far as Billy could ascertain, had called the cops because of these supposed thefts. Mostly they remembered the old gypsy with the rotting nose. If they had seen him, they remembered him most of all. Sitting in the Seven Seas with Lon Enders, he'd been 3 weeks behind the gypsies. The owner of Bob's Speedy Serve Station wasn't able to remember the day he had filled up their cars and trucks and vans, one after another, only that they stunk like engines. Billy thought that Bob smelled pretty ripe himself, but decided that saying so might be rather imprudent. The college kid working at the Falmouth Beverage Barn across the road from the Speedy Serve was able to peg the day exactly. It had been June 2nd, his birthday, and he had been unhappy about working. The day Billy spoke to them was June 20th, and he was 18 days behind. The gypsies had tried to find a camping place a little farther north in the Brunswick area and had been moved along. On June